We're talking about, in these parshiyos, there is a lot of discussion about the chayt of mechiras. Yosef, it began in Vayeshev, but it takes us through Miketz, Vayigash, Vayechi, the impact of the chayt of mechiras Yosef. There is a medrash, and Rabbeinu Bechai is the one who really elaborates on this, many places in his Perish al Torah in the second half of Sefer Bereishis, where the medrash tells us, it's a medrash in Mishlei, that because of the chayt of the mechiras Yosef, because of the 10 brothers that were involved, so Amr Bishub and Levi lo nimshchu asara harugei malchus ela bechet mechiras shel Yosef. That the asara harugei malchus, that the 10 great tanaim, the 10 great tzadikim and rabbanim that were killed, so they came on some level as the result of, they were punished for the chet of mechiras Yosef. Rabbeinu Bechai understands this to be referenced. Sometimes he says it al pi kabbalah, sometimes not, I think. But Rabbeinu Bechai understands this to have a variety of indications, even in the psukim themselves, that these 10 people, so that the chet of mechiras Yosef somehow impacted Masar Harugei Malchus. He points out, as an example, he does this in Bereishis Mem Gimel Tesvav, as well as Mem Dalet Yud Zayin, I believe, that it says 10 different times in referring to the brothers in these parashios as Anashim. Anashim, we know from Rashi Al Torah, Parsh Shlach, usually is Anashim Chashuvim. And it would have made more sense to refer to them as Achei Yosef, would have made more sense to refer to them in different ways. But the reason why they get called Anashim is a reference to the eventual 10 Anashim, the Asara Harugei Malchus, that are going to be killed as a result of this particular chait. Rabbeinu Bechai also darshins Al Derech, I don't know if it's Al Derech Drush, but he also darshins, that's Pshat, that when Yehuda says, okay, you know, we're all going to be Yer Avadim, whether we did or didn't find the Gviya in our property. So Yosef is back. V'yomer chalili lat me'aso zos. Ha'isha sher nimtza ha'gviya bi'ado. Hu yiheli eved. Eved says Yosef Atzadik to the brothers, whoever has the cup in their property, he'll be my eved. V'atem, and you, alu l'shalom el avichem. You should go up, simple pshat, to your father. You should go back up to Yaakov. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, it's also referencing something else. Viatem, Binyamin had the cup. Viatem, all of the other brothers who were involved in the selling of Yosef, alu l'shalom el avichem, that you're going to go up to avichem shebashamayim, that you're going to go up to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that you're going to be the Asar Harugei Malchus, who are eventually going to be punished. Remez le'Asar Harugei Malchus, asher alu l'shalom el avichem shebashamayim. That these are the 10 that end up going up to Shemayim. He says one step further, this is a bit of a fancier idea. Why is Chumash in the middle of Parshas Vayeshev? Why does Chumash suddenly talk about the story of Yehuda and Tamar in the middle of the story of Mechiras Yosef? Says Rabbeinu Bechai, an idea that's referenced to what he says in Parshas Kisetzeh, because Yibum and Mechiras Yosef have one theme in common, and that's the theme of reincarnation. Yibum, Sod HaYibor, says Rabbeinu Bechai, the goal of Yibum at its core is to, when the couple now is going to have Bia, they're bringing back the reincarnated soul of the brother that passed away. That's how Rabbeinu Bechai explained the Parsky Seitze. That's why he says in Chalitza, you take a shoe off. It's a sign of Avelas, so that you're not going to bring back this person to in a reincarnated soul. Says the Rabbeinu Bechai, the same way that Yibum at its core is about Gilgul, it's about Gilgulim, it's about coming back. So, Kedei Lismuch, Gilgul, Le Gilgul, so too the Shvatim have to come back in Gilgulim. Who do they come back to in Gilgulim? So they come back as the Asara Harugei Malchus. Harugei Malchus aren't just like a tikkun, they're the reincarnated souls of the Asaras HaShvatim, and that's why they're going to be killed. Rav Pinchas Friedman, Shvili Pinchas, I mean, a couple different ma'amarim, tries to line up some of the Tanaim, so who were they a Gilgul of? Like, who were they, which of the Asara, of the Asara HaShvatim, the Shvili Pinchas, in Parshas, I believe, Miketz, talks about that a little bit. He does ask one additional question of Rabbeinu Bechai, which is, this he asks also in Parshas, in Bereishis Perek Nun, Pasuk Yedzayin. He said, wait a minute. In truth, ready for the fancy question? There are only 9 Shvatim that sold Yosef. Reuven wasn't there. Reuven wasn't there at the time, so why exactly are the 10 of them considered to all, why are 10 people getting punished? Lamat Lechora, only nine were really part of the original sale. So Rabbeinu Bechai has 2 Pshatim. One is that the 10th of the Harugei Malchus is actually because of Yosef. That Yosef was somehow responsible for his selling, the fact that he was maybe debasam ra el avihem, the fact that he was an instigator in speaking Lashon Hara about his brother. So he also has some element of accountability, and therefore says, Rabbeinu Bechai, maybe Yosef is actually the 10th. That is what Pinchas talks about. That's why Rabbi Akiva may be a Gilgal of Yosef, Akiva ben Yosef, not for now. The other possibility, says Rabbeinu Bechai, is that maybe Reuven, Maybe Reuven is actually the tenth. He wasn't involved in the sale. So I would have said, no, he was involved in the sale, more broadly speaking, but he wasn't involved in the actual sale. But Rabbeinu Bechaya says maybe he needed kapara for what he did with Bilhah. That maybe he needed kapara for a different reason, which is why Reuven gets lumped in here in that way. There is, however, a very intriguing question that we'll try to focus on in the remaining 6 minutes or so, and that is as follows. Why is it that we needed to have an Asara Haruge Malchus? It seems in some of the psukim, at least, Parshas Vayigash and Parshas Vayichi, it seems in some of the psukim that, in fact, Yosef forgave his brothers. That Yosef was able to be there, and Yosef was able to say, okay, it's all good, everything, Shalom al Yisrael, and therefore nothing to worry about. So why would they have to get punished in Asara Haruge Malchus? We spoke about some of this years ago, but we'll add in a little bit. The first Mahalach is Rabbeinu Bechai. Rabbeinu Bechaye, working off of this whole Asar Haruge Malchus theory, says, I think the pshat is that Yosef never actually forgave his brothers. He speaks nicely to his brothers. There is no explicit mechila ever. And because there is no explicit mechila, so that is why they are going to continue to be punished and then to come back. And that Gilgal and the Asar Haruge Malchus, why they'll have to be punished then. That's the answer of Rabbeinu Bechaye. However, look at the Medrash, look in the Zohar, if you look in the Sefer Chassidim, there are a variety of makoros that indicate that, in fact, Yosef was mochel his brothers. In which case, the question gets asked, if Yosef was mochel his brothers, and there was mechila, so why did he have to get punished in Asar Haruge Malchus? L'chorah, it's already done. They're all good to go. Why is there a need for punishment whatsoever? So we'll talk about two different mahalachim here, which I think are both a little bit intriguing. One mahalach, which you have elements of in the Ben Yehoyada, in Meseches Sanhedrin, Ben Yehoyada Sanhedrin Daf Lameches. You have this also, a very similar mahalach in the Chidah, in his comments on the Sefer Chassidim, where they basically argue as follows. There were multiple parts of the sin of Mechiras Yosef. Yosef was only able to be mochel part of the sin. So Yosef was mochel, let's say, the ben adam lechavero component that Yosef was punished, that they hurt Yosef. So Yosef forgave them for that. But there was still something else that they needed kapara for. And the Asar Haruge Malchus was, even though Yosef was mochel them, there was something they still needed kapara for. What was it that they needed kapara for? So Ben Yehoyada says, their initial machshava to kill him. That machshava to kill Yosef, those here, hurei avera, required a punishment. That punishment was Asar Haruge Malchus. The Chidah says that what Yosef couldn't be mochel was the Ben Adam Lemakom Isser. That there were two Isurim they violated. When it is, one was Ben Adam L'Chavero, and the other wasn't Yosef wasn't the violent mover. There was also a Ben Adam L'Makom, it was a Ben Adam L'Makom component here that was taking place. Let me see if I can quote it very... Yeah, so he says, if Kvar Machal Hem Yosef Eich Amru Chazal, that it happened as well, that's where Machal were punished. So he says the following, here, that's what the Chatu B'Shtayim, Chatu Im Yosef, Chatu Gam Kein Im Hashem, B'mechiras Yosef. The Adam Lemakom needed some kapara. So we have the following. The Aser Shvatim seems to have continued to be punished with the Aser Haruge Malchus. Why are they punished with the Aser Haruge Malchus? So, Rabbeinu Bechai says, because they weren't forgiven. Others say they were forgiven. If they were forgiven, so what exactly is the... Why are they being punished? So the Ben Yehoyada says, because they had to be forgiven for the Hirhuri Avera to kill him, that Yosef couldn't be Mochel, and therefore they had to punish for that. And the Chidah says because of the Chet Ben Adam L'makom. There is another pshat in the Shem Yishmuel. Shem Yishmuel parses Shmini. It's a very, very sharp idea. The Shem Yishmuel points out, based on Gemara's and Meseches Rosh Hashanah, points out that the Ribono Shel has different ways of reacting to our sins, even when he forgives us. One way the Ribono Shel deals with our sins, if a person does a full, complete kind of a tshuva, so in certain cases, the entire sin gets wiped out. It can get wiped out. You can even have a bechina of zedonos, naasos, kizchuyos. It could even be elevated. It could all be good. But sometimes, because Baruch Hu says, I'm going to be kovesh this avon. I'm going to cover this avon. Meaning, the avon is still in existence, and there may still be remnants of this avon, but we're going to push it aside and minimize in a very real way its exact impact. Says the Shem Yishmuel as follows. The chet of Mechiras Yosef, even if Yosef was mochel, that doesn't mean that it fully removed the sin entirely. That often we find an idea that a sin could be present and we could minimize its impact, but it still lingers. It still lingers. And because it still lingers, there may still be a need on some level to address it. So it's not as severe as it would have been if Yosef wasn't Mochel. But since Yosef was Mochel, it lowered itself, but there were still some remnants of it. For that reason, it's interesting, there may be more punishments for Mechiras Yosef than just what we referenced. The Ramban understands as an example. The Ramban writes that the Seir HaChatas was also a kapara on Mechiras Yosef. And Chazal say, they quote this from the Zohar, that the Zohar says, this the Chidah quotes in Zohar Chadash, that the entire idea of Galus Mitzrayim was a punishment for Mechiras Yosef. Why are there so many punishments for Mechiras Yosef? What exactly is going on? Because some sins, even if there's kapara, they continue to linger. Says the Shemi Shmuel, that's why we find the same phenomenon with Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel also, Chazal always ended a lot of different things that we do as a kapara for Chet HaEgel, for forgiveness for Chet HaEgel, because there are many sins, says the Shemi Shmuel, it's a very powerful line, V'chei matim inyan zeh b'chet HaEgel, that even though there are certain chem b'chet shal mechiras Yosef, achar kol ha-tshuva, v'yosef machal hen v'savu ko'osan atar p'mitzrayim l'chapar al-chet ha-hu, because haya chet ha-hu tamun, it was hidden, that chet, it wasn't as apparent, but it was still lingering, it was still somewhat present, and that's why it was there. So the aseres, the mechiras Yosef, the shvatim, ended up getting punished. Yosef may have forgiven them, but they still ended up getting punished during Asar Hugim Malchus. For these reasons, it's interesting just to note that the Shemi Shmuel ends and he says, "Lemaisa nishar roshem la'asid v'nergos v'rimachus machmaso va'adayim goreim sin v'tachoros ad la'asid." This impact of Mechiras Yosef, of people not getting along, we're actually still dealing with elements of that lingering sin because we still don't get along as well as we should with each other. And he says, "Harachaman yizakenu lazeh mehera." The Baruch Hashem with the ability to fully rectify the sin of Yosef, get along with other people, have the sin not just covered up, but have it entirely wiped out. Have a wonderful rest of your day.